sleep upstairs.
Coming up on TMS, pop culture matters.
What's Roddenberry doing anyway?
Trump takes a Mexican drug lord.
Rambo is back.
I meant he takes on a Mexican drug lord. Facebook wants to kill the Flash.
Aw, minion toys are cussing.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I admit it. I thought of skimping. Could you look in those big blue eyes and skimp on her? So I buy Kraft Singles. Imitation slices use hardly any milk, but Kraft has 5 ounces per slice. 5 ounces. So her little bones get calcium they need to grow. No, she doesn't know what that big Kraft means. Good thing I do.
Kraft Singles. More milk makes them.
More milk makes them good.
Skimp on her? No way.
Ah, damn it. You know what? I'm going to call again and start over. This is terrible.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream.
It's got chutzpah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Tuesday, July 14th, 2014. 15, rather. We got a bunch of people with birthdays today, Brian. We got you got your Jocelyn Moffat. You got your TV Zegon.
Happy birthday, TV Zegon. I think we might have a request from him later.
Last week you had Eileen Rivera's birthday. You got my mom's birthday on the 13th yesterday.
Anybody else's birthday of importance this week?
I don't think so.
Can't think of anybody.
No. There's nobody.
Not of importance.
Nope. Not that matters. Birthdays are dumb.
Aww.
Except for Jocelyn and DVZ Gum. We're stoked for you guys. Happy birthday, both of you. Brian, hi.
Jocelyn,
it's
go open a pack of G versus G cards.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Actually, how does one decide? Look, I'm not a great Hearthstone player. It's not really my gig, okay?
Sure.
But when you buy your cards, are they primarily spending their gold and their whatnot on the Goblins versus Gnomes decks, or are they mostly these days just buying regular cards? I don't know how it works.
You know, it's if you've been a Hearthstone player for a long time, I'm guessing you probably have a pretty good set of the regular cards, of the base set. So I think you're probably buying the G versus G because you want the mech cards. There's benefits to there's some cards that give you benefits depending on if you're holding a mech as well.
Oh,
so
right. Well, then I should stop listening to the Angry Chicken because Brian just told me all I need to know.
Yeah, see, there you go. Why listen to their show? I've encapsulated the whole show into one piece of advice. There you go.
Encapsulated. Can I have it in a sentence, please? It sounds like a spelling bee in here. I love it. All right.
Ding!
We're here.
Could you give me the origin of the word?
There's a meme going around with a little kid lately who's doing a spelling bee, and he does the weirdest word. I wish I could find it. It's like, I wish I could find it. I don't know even how to search for it. It's really funny, though. This kid is the most pronunciative. That's not a word. He pronounced the word so excruciatingly carefully that it came off as super funny.
Really?
I'll have to find it. Somebody find that. Chat room, that's your job. What do you think you're doing here? It's not just for the freaking
bingo.
Bingo. All right. I'm going to start messing with him with that.
There you go.
Brian, pop culture matters in our life.
It does.
It
certainly does.
More than people maybe realize, and I think it's sometimes easy for the very old to look at our generation and younger and say, your comic books and your movies and your music and your whatnot, it's a waste of time. You should be out digging a hole or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my gosh, that is on the bingo card.
Yeah, that is on the bingo card. Request help from the chat room is on the card.
That's insane to me. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
You're a special group of people, really. I mean that when I say it. So,
pop culture.
Pop culture matters, right? It matters. And it matters sometimes so much that it affects our lives and tweaks our trajectory and makes us who we are in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be the first to admit that when I saw Star Wars at age 8 or so, 7 maybe, I was completely blown away, and it changed changed kind of my direction. Like it changed what I was interested in. It added to what my imagination was already trying to do.
Sure.
Like
it shapes who you are.
It really did. And I don't know that George Lucas knew it was going to do that for people or not. I don't know, but an entire generation affected by its it's pulled. Oh, yeah. Right?
There's no way he could have expected at the time the kind of reach and power and lifespan that Star Wars would have.
Yeah, I don't think he had any idea. I'm not even sure he's still to this day may not completely understand the impact.
I was really kind of hoping there would be an American Graffiti franchise with 11 movies. And,
you know, that had Han Solo, too, in it, you know. he was fine in there. We also, we got Richie Cunningham.
American Graffiti episode 2 would have been Ron Howard and Cindy Williams getting back together.
You know, she
and
was,
then they would have broken up in episode 3 and they would have gotten a new car.
She was Shirley from Laverne and Shirley.
And then Suzanne Summers would have looked at the nerdy guy and gotten him all hot and bothered.
She was in that.
Yeah.
Suzanne Summers? I don't remember that.
Yeah, she's the, I don't even know if she has any lines. She pulls up next to, oh, and I can't remember the actor, but the nerdy guy that you'd recognize in a heartbeat and say, oh yeah, I've seen him about a million times.
I know him. Tell me if I'm guessing right. He's the dude from Never Cry Wolf who runs around naked for a bit. If you've never seen that movie, then you'll know him as the accountant in the Untouchables that helps bring down Capone with his taxes.
Yes, Charles Martin Smith is the actor.
Yeah, that guy.
And Dolphin Tale. Yeah. And Dolphin Tale 2.
They got him back, eh?
They were able to wrangle him back. Anyway, he pulls up to a stoplight and looks over, and there's Suzanne Summers in the car next to him, like giving him the old, giving him the googly eyes, and then he spends the whole rest of the movie trying to find her, I think.
Oh, all right. Well, there's his
It's
his
been a while since
tale.
I've seen that one, too.
If you guys have not seen is it Never Cry Wolf?
Never Cry Wolf is the movie that has Charles Martin Smith, yes.
Yeah, and he is at some point in that running around with his bum out.
Oh, he's like the main, he's like the primary character in that, right?
He's the lead role in this.
You know what? I have seen that.
Yeah, and he's nude in it. Let me see if I can find an image proving what I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, he basically is just trying to survive up there, and he has to cook mice and stuff like that.
I think this guy is creepy and strange looking in old movies, and I think he's super cool looking now.
I wouldn't say he's creepy and strange looking in old movies.
He always weirded me out in old movies.
Really?
Yep. Even the ones we're talking about. Something about him. Can't put my finger on it. Like he's looking through a hole watching me get dressed. I don't know what it is. Something about that guy.
That's right. You know what? There's a scene in that movie. Now that I'm seeing photos of him, it's like he's eating mice and the wolves are watching him.
Yeah.
And he's like playing it up like, oh, these are delicious and I'm eating them all and you can't have any. And then
I remember that too.
Wolves are all looking sad. I totally remember that scene.
Yep. And then later his bum's out.
Oh.
His bum's totally out.
Jeez.
So anyway, that's not the point. People are
affected by pop culture.
People are affected by pop culture in interesting ways. We had a listener send something in that originally I thought, well, maybe I won't play this because it's more of just a nice little thought. But then I thought, you know what? I think people would really appreciate this. So we got a call from somebody who was in the Comic-Con audience for the Star Wars panel.
Oh, cool.
They had just left that panel and were on their way to the concert, and they took the time to call our hotline and leave us a message.
Aw, all right.
So here's what they said, and it really kind of was very touching. So, hey, get your bingo cards ready because this
Scott
might get a little sappy.
Freaking.
All right, here it is.
Hey, Scott. This is Brian, BadGuru74 on Twitter. And I don't know if you can hear this. I don't know if you were. This is something you'd play on any of the shows, but years and years ago, you made a recording of you watching Star Wars with your son, and it really touched me because I'm a dad and I watch Star Wars with my sons too, so I know you get this. You'll probably see this in the news feeds, but at Hall H Star Wars panel, they brought out Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill and then Harrison Ford. You could have hit me with a bus and I'd probably recover better than the state that I'm in right now. I was crying. It tapped into really, really deep emotions. And at the end of the panel, they tell us we're going to all walk behind the convention center to the symphony, San Diego Symphony on the bay, and see a live concert, which quite possibly could be John Williams. And I had to share this moment with you because I know you get it. You're a Star Wars guy. You're a dad. You're someone that watched the original movies, and I am just overwhelmed right now.
See, that's big time, man.
Yeah, you could even hear him getting all choked up in the call itself.
Yeah, you could tell he was having, aww, you know, having a moment there. And while it turned out not to be John Williams, is my understanding, he didn't conduct. But right, the everything else he mentioned is just pretty impressive. And it's just one of those things where he probably wasn't even prepared for you know, he's prepared to be hyped for the movie and excited mm-hmm. to be there and all that other stuff. But sometimes, once in a while, you're reminded of the good things from when you were a kid. Like the stuff that was truly good, and you can put Star Wars in that. It was heroic. It was mind and life altering. It produced a kind of fiction that people could relate to on all kinds of levels. And I'm really glad that guy had that experience. So that's super cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah, pretty rad. Anyway, just wanted to share that with everybody.
Yeah.
Brian,
yeah,
your 3D printer has been levitating. We need to know what the hell's going on. Yeah, aliens, so, aliens. Oh no, aliens.
So yesterday, I emailed you or texted you a photo of something I'm working on for Nerdtacular, actually for the StreamSacks, for the TMS StreamSacks, mm-hmm. For After Nerdtacular. And I can hold up the very first prototype here in my hot little hands.
Ooh, look at that. All red.
It's red. Yeah, I think I'm going to do the next ones in silver or white. But this is a Nerdtacular 2015 coin commemorating the event. It's got the little Mario and the coming out of the Mario pipe and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Were you able to get the text around the bottom rim, or was it too small?
Oh, it's too small. You mean like the the text? Yes.
Yeah. Is that on there?
Says there's room for everyone in here.
Oh, good. All right, cool. I couldn't see it on the video.
Yeah, it's
oh, there it is. Okay, now it's good. Yeah.
You can see what the light hits it. Yeah. So it's very, very cool. And designed it yesterday and then sent it over to the 3D printer and started printing it right before dinner and let it go. I started seeing the raft. It was doing the raft, which is the little base unit that attaches to the 3D printer, and it builds from that. Went upstairs, had dinner, watched the Sunday night's Masters of Sex. And after that, I said, well, I'll come back down and see how things were printing out. Now, the way I've got my 3D printer set up is it's over here on the side of my desk, and because I've got six different spools of filament, six different colors, I've actually created a little mount that hangs on the ceiling, and it's like a couple of S-hooks and some PVC pipe, and then all the filaments kind of hang on there.
And they're looped, right? They're in coils.
They're on spindles.
Okay.
Yeah, they're on spools. So what I do is, and I even 3D printed little clips that hold the other five that I'm not using, hold it onto like the edge of the spindle. So okay, when I'm ready for another color, I just tuck the filament back into one area, go to the other color I want, pull it down, stick it into the printer and go. Mm-hmm. It's really, really, I'm pretty impressed with this, pleased with this setup because it's been working really well. So, you know, I was printing stuff in gold. I did a little Magic the Gathering thing. So I decided, you know, I'll just do the Nerdtacular coin in gold. So left that filament going. Went upstairs, again, watched TV, dinner. Came back down to see how the print was going. And I notice my 3D printer is now about a foot above my desk.
Yeah!
Just levitating above my desk.
Just hanging there because just it had pulled there up to the filament.
It, exactly. The gold filament that I had was the only one I've ever bought from Amazon that didn't come in a sealed package. Okay. So I'm guessing somebody bought it, said, oh, I don't want gold, or this doesn't work for the size. They sent it back to Amazon. But whatever they did when they had it, they must have recoiled the filament. So it was uncoiled and then hastily coiled back around the spool. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, they got A over B, basically. Like there was a point at which the filament crossed over itself.
Oh, no.
And so as this thing is pulling it down, it stops. And the 3D printer just starts inching its way up the filament.
And you weren't here because a lot of times what you do is you'll just set that thing to print and you go away because it's like an 8-hour print. And you'll check on it occasionally.
This thing itself took like 4 hours right here. And I'm going to do some more today.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's... I'm not going to sit here and watch the whole thing. I'll do it while I'm working, sure. But, you know, at night, I'm going to leave one to print while I go to bed.
Right.
And it's a good thing. I don't know what would have happened. I'm just visualizing, like, this thing reaching the very top and chewing and chewing and chewing and not getting any more filament until it reaches the end of what it's got in its little motor.
Yeah.
Which melts away, and then it just drops and hits the table and...
Oh.
shatters into a million pieces.
Wow. So I feel like you it's like catching a fire before it spread from the sink.
Really? Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the last thing I need is now to, you know, after all the, everything I've gone through for this 3D printer, like having that, happen. But, yeah, so this going to be printing out a bunch of these, and, I think I'm going to take the gold filament off the roll and do a complete re-threading of it, re-spooling of it.
Well, that was going to ask you. Are you now at all paranoid about future spools, and you're going to want to go through them and just make sure they're cool before you put them up? Or
how, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other ones I think are going to be fine, but for gold, I'm definitely concerned, because as I was, you know, disconnecting the print, pulling the printer off of it, I could see exactly what the problem was, and it was like, oh man, yeah, that thing basically was twisted around itself. So
wow,
yeah,
that's intense, dude. I would have freaked. Did you walk in and go shit?
Basically, yes. Yeah, exactly.
I would have freaked out. That would have driven me a little mad, and then I would be like having to watch it all the time. I'd have to keep my eye on it.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that paranoid about it.
Well, good.
I get the cat here. The cat will watch it for me.
Yeah, the cat will be fine. I'm sure he'll do all that's need to be done when something like that happens.
She'll give me an alert. She'll come up and go.
What's that you say? Tristan fell down a well.
Exactly.
Show me where.
Staring at me.
All right. Well, it's Daryl Skeel's time. That's a lot like having a printer suck up its filament and go away. We're going to call him, see what's up in his life. Here's his theme. Stump a Trek Nerd is brought to you by...
It is brought to you by... Hey, Scott, do you like Diablo?
I do.
Do you like WoW?
I like it a lot.
Do you like Hearthstone?
A lot. Well, sort of, kind of.
Do you like Heroes of the Storm?
A great deal.
And finally, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
I like the people that send in just the nonsense stuff. It's great.
That's a good use of their money.
Yeah, we enjoy that.
Yes, and bingo cards aplenty just got checked off for that one.
Is that why they did it? Somebody's trying to stack the deck. Is that what happened?
No, no, because they don't know what they're going to get on their bingo card until that morning.
That's true. It's totally random. Mm-hmm. I forgot the link to that. I need to pull it up and just see what I get every
day. It's TMS. Well, see, you can't, if you play along, well, so it's tinyurl.com/TMS-bingo.
URL.
What a weird thing.
Oh, there it is. Hi.
My phone wasn't ringing.
Oh, I thought you meant the bingo game. Yeah, your phone didn't ring. It didn't ring yesterday either. What the heck's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know.
How'd you know
well,
we were calling?
If the phone doesn't ring, you know it's us.
Yeah, that's right. That's the old...
Because when I hear the show and I'm listening and you guys are saying, well, let's call him. And when I hear that, I know something's wrong.
Because it's 8 seconds ago. And you should have heard from us by then.
Yeah.
This is the truth. Daryl, you're a individual who comes on the show every day and talks about Star Trek in ways that are hard to describe. We ask a trivia question, you answer it to the best of your ability, blah, blah, blah. But today I start with something that I found in the news. Jeannie actually sent this to me, thought it was interesting. I agreed with her. Here's this. You ready for this? Trevor Roth, are you familiar with him? Heard of that guy?
No.
All right. He is currently the COO or the COO of Roddenberry Entertainment.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That makes him chief operating officer of Roddenberry Entertainment, and he is making 360-degree films.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that.
So there's this article asked the question, is the future of entertainment one in which you can look in any direction during the movie anytime you choose? Trevor Roth of Roddenberry Entertainment thinks so, and he's betting a bundle on it. We asked him about that and the high-end Star Trek props that his company makes, and then they did a little video interview. I'm not going to play that, but... Basically goes into great detail about them developing 360-degree, essentially VR video that can work with VR. And having messed with that a little bit this week with the Warcraft thing and the Legendary Pictures app stuff, I'm getting to the point where I'm kind of convinced that this is going to be a huge, huge deal for entertainment. Mm-hmm. So nice to see that. But what does that mean is the bigger question. Is that like 360-degree, let's walk around the Enterprise kind of business? Or is this an actual original content, a new show? Like, what do you think, man? Weigh in on that.
I think it's a mad experiments for now.
Yeah, it probably is. All this stuff is, right? It's very Wild West.
And it might get to be like, you know, when you in the, what are those things called? The domed theater things.
Oh, right. The deal.
It might be some kind of special thing like that.
Not IMAX, but those. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Those.
1,042 retweets and 658 favorites on my Pluto post. That's crazy. Anyway. All right. Well, there you go. Looking forward to whatever Mr. Roth, the coo of Roddenberry Entertainment, comes up with. Do you think they have to call him that at work? It's like,
hey, coo.
We need to get the it guy in here. The
the Cafoe.
The Cafoe. And if you could get the coo on the line, that'd be great. Daryl, let's get to your question. It is a next generation question for today's trivia, and it starts with a clip, and you need to tell us what episode this clip came from. Here you go.
How'd you like your tea?
Tea? Earl Grey, hot.
Of course it's hot. What do you want in it?
Nothing. You said this is Earl Grey. I'd swear that it was Darjeeling.
Hmm.
All right.
Ooh.
Grumpy Picard. What's going on there?
That was a thing, like it was a shape of thing to come, right? Like the fact that he knew it was Darjeeling was something that came up later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. You're absolutely right about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I forgot to do today?
What's that?
I forgot to post the links to Twitter and stuff so that people knew that we were recording.
Oh.
And it didn't seem to stop them all from showing up, so.
Well, there you go.
I don't know what's happening. Anyway, Daryl, there's your thing. Here's your options. The Survivors, B, Time's Arrow Part 1, C, All Good Things, or D, Reunion. So The Survivors, Time's Arrow Part 1, All Good Things, or Reunion. Those are your options. Now, Brian sent some stuff, and I spaced bringing it downstairs.
Oh, but you did receive yours.
I got it late yesterday in the mail.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm trying to decide if...
You can run up and grab it. We got time. We got no bill today. And plus, Bill's not here to make you feel bad about eating it either.
That's true. So what we'll do, I'll tell you what. I'll send Daryl on an errand. Daryl, make it nice and meaty of doing this.
Hey.
Today in Star Trek history. I'll be right back.
Okay, here we go. On this day in 1967, the seventh and final day of filming of the TOS episode, The Changeling, was filmed. And on that very same day, also TOS, the first day of filming started on The Apple.
Oh, really?
So they were doing two things at once.
Which series were The Changeling was TNG, right? And then The Apple was...
TOS.
Oh, TOS.
The robot, the Nomad... You sterilized.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, yes.
And then the Apple was the one where all the red shirts died.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Wow. Red shirts. Apple. They should have known. Right. We're red shirts. This is the episode of the Apple. We're all gonna die.
Yeah. And now that we've done that, we can take over the show.
I'm back.
Yep. Oh, good time.
Oh, no, my evil plan is ruined.
That's all right. You've got plenty of evil plans yet to go. All right, Brian. Whew,
yes, sir.
He went to Japan, and he brought back things with him, and then he mailed them to us.
Pick a color, any color.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because since it's very Japanese, I guess the Kit Kats are obviously Kit Kats, but mine are all melted.
Oh, no. Are they really?
That's okay, though, because I can... They're not melted in that they're melty now, but they melted into a flat, like, brick.
Aw.
because, you know, it's hot out. Yep. Totally fine, though. I'm sure the flavors are all preserved. Ooh. I don't know where to start, though.
My bag smells weird.
Ice Worm. There's one for... In fact, you know what? I'm going to mark that one and get it. That was pretty good.
Now, the one that looks like this, and I'm holding it up to the camera, it's got a woman on the front who has the word check above her head, and then she's speaking into a word balloon that is full of Japanese.
I see it. Mm-hmm. Let's do that one.
No. Don't do that one.
Don't do that one.
Because this one, for some reason, you're supposed to stick it in a toaster oven for a couple of minutes and let the top get crisp. Like it's a creme brulee kind of flavor.
Really? Weird. Yeah.
They actually have instructions in Japanese, but when you do it, it's supposed to, and here's the bag, you can see the before and after, like what it's supposed to...
I'll bet it doesn't end up looking that good.
No, I think it doesn't. It probably ends up looking like what yours already look like in the bag.
Well, we'll save that then. Then how about the one that's super blue? It looks like blueberries or something.
Let's see. The pink ends?
Blue ends.
Blue ends. That must be this one.
Blue middle, blue ends, and then like a big blueberry looking thing or grape thing behind the Kit Kat logo.
Yep. All right.
You want to do that?
Let's do that one. I'll tell you what flavor it is after you consume it.
Okay, and Daryl, you found it?
I've got it.
Okay, I'm opening it. Oh, it's white. Okay, hold on. Oh, yeah, this is not a Kit Kat shape. I gotta...
Give me a flat.
Ooh, it's all white. Well, mine probably melted too.
All right, I'm going to guess.
Boy, I'm going to have to send these to you guys in coolers next time we go to Japan.
Oh, I forgot to play the thing. Here, hold on.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
This tastes like blueberry to me. Am I right?
Not at all.
Oh.
Gerald, do you have a flavor?
Yes. Mm. Oh, yeah. What is that?
I think I was swayed by the cover because it looks
I
like
I think
blueberries.
You were too, yeah.
I don't know.
Is it grape?
It's got something weird about it.
It's not grape,
like,
is it?
It is not grape.
Bad milk. I think it's sour milk flavor.
Once I tell you what it is, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I guess that is what the flavor is.
All right.
It is Tokyo. I don't know the word Tokyo's in there, but it's Tokyo rum raisin.
Oh, it's raisin. That's the flavor.
Oh,
I think rum is the flavor that you're experiencing. Maybe.
I'm getting a very raisiny thing happening. Like raisins that have been out in the sun too long, like they're a little fermented. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that rum—that's the bad milk flavor.
Rum tastes like bad milk.
Can I get a bad milk and Coke, please? It's not quite the same as rum and Coke. All right, that was not bad. I don't mind that. It's all right. Mm-hmm. It's all right, Daryl. You don't like it though. Not a fan. I still think it's funny that they have the notes on the back.
The little place for you to write a little note. I guess, you know, you give this to a friend. You want to say, have a wonderful day.
Have a great day.
Go up at Giba or whatever the girl in the producer says. Give the clip.
Here's some bad milk. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Do I have it?
Goat and goober.
I do have it. What did she say? Goat and goober? Here it is. Here you go.
Good dog for day.
This episode of Film Sack brought to you by.
Shit.
Don't play that.
Good dog for day.
That's so annoying.
Andreas Ekberg, our resident Swede, confirmed that phrase means good day to you.
Oh, well, then let's dance in celebration. All right. Daryl, let's get back to the thing then. Let's get back to your question.
You know, I'm trying to write on the little note area just to make sure that part of this whole thing works. You have to use a Sharpie. No regular pen or pencil will write on that.
Oh, interesting. Just because it's too smooth?
Yeah.
What's the word? Shiny? Smooth? That's not the word.
Gotta test everything here, not just the food.
Yeah, good job. I like that. You're well done, thorough.
Yes. Way to make sure everything is successful.
Mm-hmm. You're like inspector. Who is the underwear inspector?
Inspector number 7?
Number 7, yeah. Checking the underwear very carefully.
I think that's what her number was.
I don't remember. Daryl, your question was, with that clip goes to one of these episodes, Survivors, Time Zero Part 1, All Good Things, or Reunion. Where's your head at? What do you think?
Okay. Some old-timey lady serving tea. What's the Times? Ridgemont Times? What?
Ridgemont.
What is that?
What? Ridgemont Times. What are you talking about?
Time Zero?
Oh, yeah. Time Zero.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're thinking?
Yeah. Ridgemont Times.
Fast Time Zero at Ridgemont.
Ridgemont the Station.
I don't know how that got
Ridgemont Station.
Fast Times at Ridgemont. I'd watch that. That'd be a show
watch
I'd
that
watch.
Too.
Yeah. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Especially the scene where Crusher is teaching Troy how to eat a carrot.
Yeah, and Commander Commander Spicoli gets a pizza delivered. Great.
If I'm sitting on the chair this way and you're sitting on the chair this way, doesn't it make it our chairs?
Yep, just confirming it that I would watch it. Everything you say makes me want
it sounds like the best thing ever.
Yep, good combo. Anyway, sorry, you were saying. So it's the Survivors Time Zero Part 1, All Good Things and Reunion.
Things. No, it can't be All Good Things. What kind of craziness would that be? That doesn't make any sense.
All right.
Reunion. I don't even remember what that one is.
Reunion.
Survivor. Or whatever that was. That's not.
No, we didn't even mention Survivor. Oh, yeah, we did the Survivors, yes.
Yeah.
I was looking at the other ones.
I guess I'll just stay with the Time Zero, because yeah that had what's his name, the writer guy from Kentucky or wherever, you know,
Mark Twain.
Yeah, Mark Twain, that guy,
Kentucky writer guy.
Inspector number 12, by the way, is the underwear inspector.
Well, he went by three names. He was Mark Twain, He was, what was the other name? The
Samuel Clemens.
Samuel Clemens and Kentucky Rider Guy. So good job.
Rider Guy.
I don't even know if Kentucky is right.
Probably I'm not sure either. I think it was it Kentucky? Yeah, I don't know.
Connecticut Rider and King Arthur's Court. I'm trying to think of like if there was the whole Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn stuff. Was it Kentucky?
Kentucky sounds kind of familiar.
Somewhere in there.
But yeah. Truthfully, what do I know?
Tennessee, Alabama, somewhere in the South.
Oh, I'm trending. Someone says okay. I'm trending. That tweet is trending on Twitter. Weird. I've never trended with anything. Boy. I've never trended with anything in my life. That's a big deal, sort of. I don't know. Nothing comes of it. All right, Daryl.
Well, it's better than that. It's better that than Gay Lions.
Yeah, Gay Lions is that was a pretty good time though for you. I enjoyed it. So you say. I already forgot. Time, Daryl?
Mississippi, right? I think Mississippi.
Was it Mississippi? All right.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Missouri. So that's the same. Close enough.
It's the same close enough.
Missouri and Mississippi, that's the same.
Yeah, it's all one big fat chunk of land. Exactly. I'm sure nobody from either of those two very distinct and different states would have any disagreement about that. All right, so I do it to Canada all the time, so don't feel bad. So you say time zero, part one.
Yeah, I'll say that.
Well, let's find out if you're right. Is it right?
Television highlights of the news.
Wrong one.
It's the news and it's brought to you.
That is okay. All good things.
Really?
Picard and Geordi, this is the old man period where he's old. They visit Data, who is a professor at Cambridge, and he holds the Lucasian chair, whatever. Data's housekeeper offered them some tea and gives Picard the wrong kind, and he was super old and grumpy then. And divorced from, what's her name, at that point. There you go, Daryl. Way to go. You've now 50-50'd on the week, which means you got a chance tomorrow and Thursday to pick it all up again and move on with your life. Daryl is the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can find him there. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and on a little show called The Grumpy Cast. And now, Daryl will play a game with us that is probably more challenging than what we did with him. So give it to us.
Actual TOS episode title in Japanese or anime title?
All right, here's your... theme. How about this one?
Dirty, disgusting, filthy, lice-ridden bides.
All right. Well, that was it. That's your theme. Sorry, hold on a second. My daughter's flipping out. What? Why? Where are you doing it? Oh, in that room in there? Okay, yeah. Go ahead and take it. Just turn on the overhead. You're fine. Sorry. There's some confusion in the house. What was he doing? That's it. Oh, Daryl, what else? He's you're playing the game. Give us the thing. Sorry.
It's either anime or Japanese Star Trek.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All TOS right. Episode title.
All right, go ahead.
Mystery in Space, Eating Angry?
Mystery in Space, Eating Angry with a question?
Mm-hmm. Mystery in Space, Eating Angry.
Is that, that sounds like the Horta.
It does. Pain?
Pain? Ouch?
It sounds like he might be trying to pull, you know, like, oh, well, I'm going to make him think that it's Star Trek because it says in space.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian, that's pretty good. So yeah. Brian's analytical trivia mind is pretty good at, like, seeing the weird structure thing.
Yeah,
I don't
but
think
then
of.
He trans. He does the double blind sometimes, the double back where, you know.
That's true.
I'm going to make him think that because it is.
Well, then in that case, see, I would normally lean toward not Trek because of the space thing. But if you think he's more often than not double tripping us.
Oh, yeah. No, I couldn't even, it's so impossible to predict. I wouldn't say it's like there he does one more than the other. Mm. I'd say if we feel like it's an anime title, a Japanese anime title, I'd say we go with anime title.
All right. Anime title it is.
Okay. You have been double blinded from the TOS episode.
Damn it.
The dub.
I don't even know what he finished saying because I got rid of him so fast.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by
Daughter Food.
So we went over to Taylor's house, our apartment, and she made chicken and lovely things. It was very nice.
Good.
She's very domestic for a girl who hated doing that when she was younger, but. Things have changed. She's taken on a bit of her mother's cooking skill, and it's nice to see, you know? We ate well yesterday. I'll put it that way.
Very good.
And we played.
I can't wait for our boy to leave and start cooking for us.
Yeah, that's right. Come on over, Mom and Dad. I've made lasagna, or I've made pizza pockets or something.
Exactly, right.
Hot, or what are the pizza rolls? Those are the best. Oh, man. I used to eat a lot of those, you know. I don't eat that anymore.
No. Jim's gone.
No. Yeah. Oh, she's leaving this weekend. I forgot. She's going to some camp, and I got Nick and I have to fend for ourselves again. It's going to suck. What episode? Oh, the wrong damn thing. Donald Trump.
Scroll down.
What's Donald Trump's Twitter account? Do we know what that is?
It's hashtag China.
China. Let's see. The real Donald Trump, is it? Or is it just Donald Trump? I want to find him. Donald Trump.
Real, at real Donald Trump.
Okay, at real Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Okay, because he's had a tweet that I wanted to discuss real quick. Here it is. Donald Trump.
Yeah. Boy, 30 minutes ago. Getting ready to land in Charlottesville, Virginia at Trump Vineyards. Another job producing development that I bought and made amazing.
All right, so this is kind of like what I want to get at, which is I want candidates, regardless of who they are. Sorry, we have to play our Donald Trump theme. Mm-hmm. We should probably do that first. Where is it? It's right here. It's just China. I can't find it.
China!
All right, he really likes China.
He does.
Okay, so...
I like China.
Okay, great. Shut up and sit down. When somebody says something, regardless of the format it's said in, if they're saying it to your face, or if it's in a book, or an article, or a newspaper thing, or they slip it in a note to you, I don't care how it comes to you, Brian. Like, when I text you, you're mm-hmm. hoping I give you some kind of structure and context to what I say.
Sure. I want something that's going to make sense.
Well, I read a tweet yesterday that is not too different than all the other stuff he's been saying lately, but I want to break it down, and I want to understand. So it says this. A nation without borders is no nation at all. We must build a wall. Let's make America great again. And then his website. Now, I just want to break down the things that he said, and I'll do it per sentence.
Okay.
A nation without borders is no nation at all. That's true. I guess you have to...
On a very literal definition is very true.
I guess
right.
That's true, but I guess I'm wondering why he would say that since we have borders.
Right.
There
don't
are
all nations. Doesn't having borders make a nation? So it's a moot point to say a nation without borders because that does not exist.
Right. And also his direct implication is that we no longer have borders somehow because all the Mexicans are coming up.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we have all these Ferners into the country.
And we have a border. So, yeah. So I don't like his first sentence. All right. I don't like that one at all. So that implies we don't have borders and that we're not a nation. Then he says, we must build a wall. So he says, a nation without borders is no nation. But that would imply that the way you fix that is to make borders. To make a wall is a different problem or a different issue or a different request. And you can talk about the ups and downs of why that's good or a bad idea. There's probably a lot of political steam you could spend talking about whether a wall or a better border patrol or whatever is a good idea or not. Okay, that's not even my issue. I'm just talking about pure sentence structure and sense here. So, all right, we go from if you don't have borders, you're not a nation. We need to build a wall. And then says, let's make America great again. That implies like back when we had a wall. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. Let's make it great again. You know.
Back when the wall was there?
Back when we had other walls. Back when there were walls.
Yeah. Oh, wait. There were no walls ever. Everything he said in the tweet plays purely on surface level, reductive, bandwagoning excitement for some people who are into what he's saying. And that's it. There's no nuance to it. There's no depth to it. There's no reasoning to it. It's just, and I know it's a tweet, and I know that's not really the place you want all your reasoning and stuff, but I've read a lot better tweets than this, like Pluto and how it looks like Pluto's on it, for example. There's a good example of a good tweet today. Go check it out. Now trending on Twitter. But point being, give me something I can actually have a conversation about. This is just nonsense to me.
So the wall around America, does he increase the size of the wall to include Alaska and Hawaii, or does the wall... is there separate walls around Alaska and Hawaii that are that make those, you know, because you're not going to have one that goes across the ocean. Well, I guess he could. He's Trump. He's got a lot of money.
He's got a lot of money. He's filthy rich. He says this. Where is it? Something about stupid
but
people.
We have people that are stupid.
He says that. I can't find his money. Great wall.
I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me,
okay,
believe
well, then
me.
That's all you need right there. He'll build a great wall.
He would do it. And I say, all right, you know, let him do it.
He's got the money.
I'm really rich.
All right, so he's got the money to do it. So here's the other thing. We're not even talking about Canada yet.
Maybe, you know, when another president wins, they could bring in Trump as the Secretary of Walls.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Now, I don't want to give anyone too much historical perspective here, but if you put a wall down there, you might have to put it up to Alaska, and you might have to put it all the way up around Canada, and we might have to just wall ourselves in completely. And I just want to look at some history here. The world is not famous for walls working out in the long run.
No, no. There was a wall that was taken down in the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm. It's a big one. separated Eastern Germany from Western Germany. I don't know if anyone remembers that. A lot of... Boy, talk about your political your intrigue there. That seemed to have
a
little.
That's right.
I don't think that Chinese wall is anything more than a cool place to visit now. kept the Mongols out, right?
Wasn't that the original purpose? Was
the Mongolians, the Huns, or somebody? Who
the Huns, right? Yeah.
I need to see Mulan again. just to be reminded. And then the other one. And then the one in Jerusalem separating a chunk of the Gaza Strip and all that. That thing is. Arguable whether it's doing anyone any good ever. Mm-hmm. So I just look, those are all arguable, interesting points. I can see both sides. Lots of interesting conversation can happen around immigration and how immigration works and whether or not people should be allowed to come over the border freely and all these kinds of things. Actual issues. I'm totally mm-hmm. cool with that. Mm-hmm. His tweets and his statements and things he says, though, are like listening to a kid on the playground tell me that his jungle gym is cooler than mine.
Why don't we, here's what we do. We make Trump, we don't make him president, we make him the leader of the Night's Watch, and he can just sit on that wall.
Oh, yeah.
In his crow outfit.
Yeah, he can be a brother of the Night's Watch.
That's right. Exactly.
And he made
a
commitment.
Sit on the wall and just watch for the wildlings.
Yep, he can cheat once in a while and get a little nookie with a lady and pretend like it didn't happen.
That's right.
It's fine.
Sure.
All right. There's Donald Trump. And the whole point of this article is not even about that. It's about him wanting to take on the Mexican drug lord El Chapo.
Yeah, which I read as El Chapo.
El Chapo is pretty good.
Yeah.
Joaquin El Chapo Guzman.
You know, I've seen a lot of these drug lords. I watched Breaking Bad, and you know, they're not that tough. They're actually like science teachers that have cancer. I could easily defeat a science teacher with cancer.
Yeah. And he says this. Well, so this guy escaped from a maximum security prison. He's currently at large. He's the number one most wanted American DEA dude on the list.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Big cartel guy. He escaped through a mile-long tunnel, came out clean on the other side. Through an small opening in his cell, which he chipped away with a small hammer, and it was a picture of, what's her name in front of it?
Well, Sofia Vergara for him.
Yeah, that's right. We're in a modern time.
That's right.
It's now, we've heard since that the the prison warden had a gun in his Bible, and it's all over now. Let's see, what else does it say? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, he says this, according to Trump. Can you envision Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton negotiating with El Chapo, the Mexican drug lord who escaped from prison? Trump, however, would kick ass. Seriously.
Yeah.
That's great, dude. All right. Speaking of a guy who kicks ass, Rambo returns.
Oh.
Coming back for last.
There's a guy who can handle some drug lords
right
there.
Right. Put him in the middle of it. He'll be fine. He has arrows with explosive tips. Explosive tip.
Well done. Yeah. Oh, how many bingos were made right there?
Probably many. Rambo returns for Last Blood. That's the new movie, and you'll never guess who he's fighting. Quote, we have a team of scouting. Or,
Rocky Balboa.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be great.
That'd be great. Do like double team kind of movie where there's he's playing both parts. Oh. We have teams scouting Iraq and parts of Syria where ISIS have their greatest strongholds, Stallone said at Comic-Con. This is at Comic-Con. We're working with locals there to deliver the most intense and realistic Rambo movie experience ever. According to The Independent, this is a shift from the last plot he described, which had John Rambo tackling Mexican drug cartels. maybe El Cheapo.
Wow, so Rambo versus ISIS.
Yeah.
Nice.
That seems kind of dumb, but whatever. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Rip
coming
from today's
to
headlines.
A film sack in the near future.
Mm-hmm. I thought his last Rambo movie was pretty good, but I don't know about this. I kind of like the nameless, faceless South American, you know, gorilla thing. That always works for me because it's just so nameless and faceless, I guess.
Yeah.
Facebook, speaking of faces, oh man, all the transitions. Mm. Facebook's new chief security officer, Commander Worf, wants to set a date to kill Flash.
Oh, what's Barry Allen ever done to him?
Well, someone's got to stop him from running around so fast.
My name is Barry Allen.
You're too
I
fast,
can do the
boy.
Impossible.
I need to watch that show still. I still
have such a good show.
I still need to.
It's, you know, it's got the CW, you know, love three-way love triangle business, but you know what? They do a good job handling all of the Rogues Gallery that show.
Good. I need to watch it.
Yeah.
Alex Stamos, heir to the
John Stamos,
the John Stamos
empire?
Fortune. Yeah. He, by the way, is in drug rehab. I don't know.
Yeah, he's having some problems. Did you see that DUI video?
Mm-hmm. It was pretty bad.
It was on TMZ.
Pretty bad. He's been on Vine a lot, and he looked like things were going great, but it sounds like not so much.
Mm.
Anyway, turns out, hey, if you're in front of the camera, it's not always what it seems.
That's right.
Alex Stamos, who recently was appointed chief security officer at Facebook, has called on software company Adobe to announce the end-of-life date for Flash. He wants them to say, we're done.
Okay.
Pair of tweets over the weekend talking about its hacking vulnerabilities and problems. It says it's time for Adobe to announce the end of life for Flash and to ask the browsers to set kill bits on the same day. Even if 18 months from now, one set date is the only way to disentangle, that's an interesting word, disentangle the dependencies and upgrade the whole ecosystem at once. Last week, a 400 gigabyte cache of files stolen from spyware company hacking team revealed a major vulnerability in Flash that allows hackers to execute malicious code on a target's machine via a website. Adobe quickly fixed the patch, but then they keep talking about how they're not going to do anything. So, I don't know. Do we even need Flash? Everything's HTML5 video now anyway. Who cares?
Yeah,
just get rid of it. I know animators.
That stupid Marvel Helicarrier Avengers Alliance game that I do the other show for. Which will be later today at 2 p.m., is all based in Flash. I'd love for them to move that thing over to HTML5 or something else, or just make it a standalone.
Yeah, just make it
Flash is, I mean, it's basically like creating a sewer system under your computer that anything, Murlocs and whatever can crawl into. Alligators, chud, whatever. They can get into your system through that sewer system.
Yep. Level 2 rats in there.
You send That's a, right. Send Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Send an adventurer down there to take care of them. Well, finally in the news, are Minion toys saying what the F? Parents say yes. McDonald's says no.
Sure.
All right, Brian, I want you to hear this video.
I love this.
This is awesome. This is interesting. Firefox has prevented the unsafe plugin Adobe Flash from running.
Well, there you go.
Wow, that's, you know what? I need to actually screen grab that because that's funny.
That's funny timing.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the video. This will be the HTML5 version. And you tell me if you think it's swearing. I'm going to skip this guy's thing at the top.
Is this another McDonald's toy fail?
No, let's play it. Yeah, there was.
What? Did you
hear that?
Yeah.
Let's play it again.
If you're listening for it, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody says they're taking it away from their kids. They're all upset about it. And then, you know, whatever. But McDonald's says, no, they don't swear.
Right. I kind of wanted to go to McDonald's yesterday for a Happy Meal and specifically request can I get the tall minion in the... in the leopard print, please. Yep. Do you guys have that one? That's what I want.
Sure, it would have been a very healthy meal for you.
Oh, I'm sure.
Get them now before they're sold out. Today's episode brought to you by tweakedaudio.com. Great earbuds for the discerning public. Put those in your ears. Be happy. Be glad. Smile from ear to ear. They're all engineered for durability, noise reduction, and you get a lifetime warranty with everything. As always, use the code STREAM at checkout and get your own 33% off your next pair of audio earbuds. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Justin, Robert Young, and Jury Time. Before all that, though, Brian brought music, and I have no idea what it is.
Well, here's what it is. Cameron, a.k.a. Sparky's Shocker, wrote in and said, I almost forgot about my birthday, which was 7/11, and I'll be celebrating 2.8 decades on the crusty floating rock. I would like to request any cover of or by Blink-182. And if you can't find anything good, any of the Newfound Glory from the Screen to the Stereo covers will work, or just play the Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch song.
The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
I was ready.
Can't wait to see everyone in Ertacular. Signed, Cameron, a.k.a. Sparky's Shocker.
See you then, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go with Blink-182. A lot of covers of Blink-182, but I did want to do a cover by Blink-182. Now, Enema of the State came out in 1999. Let's go a couple years before that, back before Travis Barker joined the group. Blink-182 contributed a cover of Billy Idol's Dancing With Myself to a compilation called Before You Were Punk. And this was before they hit it big. Here is Blink-182, an early cover by Blink-182 with Dancing With Myself.
Chocolate cookies and chocolate cake and chocolate ice cream with chocolate sauce and chocolate chips. But I don't love tummy bulges, so I wear Slenderalls, pantyhose, and control top panties all in one.
Hanes Underalls, sponsored at American Portrait.
Ooh, I fell on my keys.
We can't date. You're too oily. This is the Morning Stream.
Back. That's a great right. clip, isn't it?
Ooh, I fell on my keys.
That's good stuff.
I love that. By the way, the Rambo thing apparently has been debunked by Stallone's publicist.
Wait, he never said any of it?
No, I put a link. Well, it's a link back to that Boing Boing article. They've amended the article and said, sorry, I don't know where we got this info, but apparently it's all bunk.
Let's do a quick follow-up here. All right.
Big thanks to Bogo in the chat room for correcting me on that, and correcting me on American Graffiti. Apparently, is Richard Dreyfuss was the guy who fell in love with Suzanne Summers in the car next to him.
Oh, I have a memory that that other guy was in there too, but I guess
it was Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss.
It was Richard Dreyfuss.
The shark is huge.
We're gonna need a bigger boat. There's your shitty brand impersonation.
By the way, long misheld misinformation that he said when you're going to need a bigger boat. I thought that. You just thought that.
Yeah.
It wasn't Richard Dreyfuss. Let me tell you who it was. Gonna need.
Was it the other guy that we've been talking about? Because he was in Jaws as well, wasn't he?
Bigger boat. Hold on. Gosh dang it. Okay. Bigger boat. Here we go. All right. Here we go. You're going to need a bigger boat. Here you go.
Oh, yeah. It was, what's his face?
Pops up. He's all freaked out. And then he says, backs up a little, goes inside the thing with what's his name?
Old Roy guy. Scheider.
Yep.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, see?
There you
Roy
go.
Roy Scheider. But everyone attributes it, including, I guess, there was a story about his own kids.
No way.
They held it. Their dad said the line. Isn't that funny?
Aw.
I know, it's a hoot. Anyway, I wouldn't mind seeing Jaws again. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Let's call jury, and let's see if they're still... what do you do with the jury? You sequester them.
Yes, see if he's still sequestered. He's not able to talk about the case.
Mm-hmm. He's been told that if he does, they could throw the entire case out. This guy could walk free. Nobody wants that in their lives. Nobody wants a free... Nobody wants a dastardly person out there on the street.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin R. Young on the line. Hello, Justin.
Ahoy.
Ahoy, matey.
Yeah, what's up, gang?
What brings you to our Cumble Abode? Cumble Abode?
Humble Abode? And, well, what is this, a police stakeout?
We've been looking at you the whole time, see? So you're at home. You're at home. I see your sign. You must be at home.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm in Oakland.
How's that feel for you? You good?
Pretty good. I've actually been home. Well, no, I guess I was on the road last week.
Yeah, you were at an airport last we spoke.
I was. Yeah. Oh yeah, I was in Safo.
Mm-hmm. Standing next to speakers and whatnot.
Oh God, that's its own funny little bit.
So,
I really like that.
So I'm excited to have you on because, well, we always are, but also because it was Comic-Con week, and so much of what was discussed feels like it's directly in all of our wheelhouses, yours included.
Yeah.
What was there at that event that either tickled your fancy the most or kicked your fancy in the nuts?
Well,
what,
you know, my
what
fancy...
fondled your fancy in either a positive or negative way?
Yes. Show us where the man touched your
I
fancy.
Like, Brian, can you, in honor of this, find the best cover of
fancy?
Of fancy? Yeah.
Azalea?
No, by what's her face? The other, the
isn't it Charlie XCX and Iggy Azalea?
I thought it was.
Not,
it's
no,
so
no,
fancy. That's,
oh, you're like the Taylor Swift has a song called Fancy too.
Come on, fancy, don't let Reba. Is it Reba McEntire?
Oh, well, that's pretty good. Okay, I hate the Iggy Azalea one, so I'm happy to do anything but that.
I'm so fancy.
Like it's bad enough to say that you're so fancy and hope that takes off and that everyone starts saying that. It's another thing to say, but you already know. Because that's the most cocky thing ever. If I was whatever fancy is, and then I just assume that Justin knows how fancy I am, F off, Iggy Azalea.
Well, and if you assume that I already know it, then what's the point of your song? Right. You know, why tell me you're fancy? Why spend all this time telling me how fancy you are if I already know? You know what? I know. Move on.
Yeah.
Tell me about the bacon crisp tender chicken ranch.
So, by the way, fun little note, because I'm trying to scoop Ibbot's heat here. The Reba McEntire song Fancy is a cover of a Bobby Gentry original in 1969.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So you can just play the Reba McEntire version.
And it would be a cover.
And it would be a cover.
On yes, because we're all about the Reba McEntire covers on this show.
Man, There is actually a great cover that the Possum Posse performed live at South by Southwest at our show, where they mashed up the Iggy Azalea song and the Reuben Mac and the Reuben.
Really?
And it blew my mind.
Wow,
that's
as
awesome.
As the Star Wars behind the scenes blew my mind.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Keep things on track.
Well, wait a minute, Iggy has one thing to say. She's not good at that.
No, there's a lot of spit in that rap.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I mean, I'm not one to say that Iggy Azalea is the best rapper alive. However, how many rap concerts have you been to, Scott?
Well, all right.
I've been to two. I saw Run DMC in 1988.
Okay.
And I saw the Beastie Boys. Oh, you know what? They may have opened for Run DMC. I've maybe won then.
You saw one concert with two acts.
I think so, yeah. I know, you know.
That's a great
two more than I've seen.
Oh, cause that's a great concert.
Oh, it was. It actually really was. They were, I want to say they were pushing their Paul's Boutique album, which was really good.
Mm.
Anyway.
Wow. Oh, so it was kind of a comeback, a little bit of a later stage Run DMC then.
I want to say, yeah, it felt like later stage for them, an earlier stage, but the also Beasties. Less commercially, you know, we have the right to party.
Paul's Boutique, I mean, they were already gigantic at Paul's Boutique.
Yeah, that's true. Paul's Boutique was, like, a lot of people didn't like it, though, and I thought it was the best album they ever made, but anyway, whatever. I mean,
yeah, that's objective truth.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. So your point, though, about not seeing a lot of rap concerts.
Oh, they're not necessarily known for their artistry.
And there's not a lot of clarity, too, right?
Vocal stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, like, I've seen great, great, great rap acts that mumble through their lyrics. And you know, it's kind of not the point. Like, the point is, like, it's a lot more of, hey, let's all just get together. And somebody standing up and rapping the lyrics to your favorite songs, except it's the actual artist.
Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know they were known. The Run DMC concert, I want to say, seemed pretty clear. Like, it wasn't a lot of shouting into microphones and having to distort.
Run DMC also is, like, it's an easier way to go, you know, because there's, you know, pretty much all the lyrics you can say.
That's right. They don't. They have a lot of pausing because that was the way.
About breathing between these lyrics, you can say them easily.
It doesn't even matter if they rhyme.
That's right.
But it's not like Eminem. You know, like Eminem has to rap up really fast, and sometimes, you know, if you're dehydrated or high, or, you know, so, like, it's harder to do.
Yeah,
sure. The guy rhymed like 11 things with mom's spaghetti.
But did he ever say, the chicken tastes like wood? Did he
ever
say that?
No, that's a whole different one.
Okay, because I love that. It's my favorite rap lyric of all time. Anyway, but your point taken. I understand. Iggy's fine. You know what? I think she's a nice, attractive girl who's has popularity for a reason. She didn't just come out of the ground and everyone went, oh, this, she's terrible. Let's buy all her albums, right? There's a reason. And I totally accept that. It's fine. But I think I'm So Fancy makes me want to punch a donkey in the face.
And aside from the poor donkey, I say it's your right.
Yeah, it's my right. It's my objective right.
So
anyway, back to the point. Batman.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. That was
Star Wars.
It. You have a Brian in the hunt house?
No, I don't know.
What do you hide?
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got? Like a little house man doing your bidding over there. What's this about?
Oh no!
Maybe the greatest
Brian's
segment.
Brian's unconscious.
Yeah, maybe the best time we've had on this.
A lightsaber just fell over, literally, and turned.
Oh. Wow!
Did it turn
almost
on when
if,
you knocked it over?
The force made it so.
It turned on. Did it turn on? That would have been
so
incredible.
Star Wars. It's great. I love it. Next.
So yeah, we all love it, right? But
yeah, well, all right. So all right, here's I got a thing I want to talk about.
All right, okay.
David Ayer, throw your hands in the air. Uh-huh. Although that sounds a bit aggressive.
Ayer.
He is the director of Suicide Squad. They had a panel.
Yeah.
It got a lot of good press, and it was one of the trailers that was leaked via people's cell phones.
Yep.
He came out yesterday and said, hey, not cool, everybody who recorded it. That's not how I want it saw. It's disrespectful to everybody who waited in line.
Yeah.
Hashtag not cool.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
This, I want to give a new award. I mean, someone needs to hit David Ayer with the relax, Jake, it's Chinatown award.
All right.
Like, I mean, is there anything, like, you did a thing at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
People record the panels and put them up.
Yeah.
Well, they put the trailer up, too, yesterday. I don't know what, was it in response to that, or were they planning on it?
Do you remember what Marvel, so. Yeah. Marvel, Disney Marvel did this with, what was it? There was a preview or a trailer that they were going to debut on.
The full Age of Ultron trailer.
That's right. And they were going to debut it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it got leaked a day before this. So they said, all right, we'll just release a high quality version of it. We'll figure out something else to show during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And they went after the dude pretty hardcore.
Yeah, they did. Exactly.
Yeah.
But they just put it out.
They just put it out. They put out
the clean version, and they had like a funny like, oh,
which is what David Ayer did.
Yeah. What?
He did the same thing. He put out a clean version of the Suicide Squad trailer after all this happened.
But I mean, like, so people really love your stuff. Bro,
mm-hmm.
like,
I see his point though, because somebody sent me a link to the Deadpool trailer that was recorded on somebody's cell phone.
Yeah.
And I watched like the first few seconds of it, and I saw that it was basically somebody who not only was recording on their cell phone, but had the cell phone turned vertically so that it's an even smaller display or you know, smaller recording field. And I said, yeah, I just could not. I turned it off after a few seconds. There's no way I can watch it. There's no way that I want my first experience with the Deadpool trailer to be blurry, echoey, out of focus.
Right. Yeah. By the way, I did. It's great.
Yeah, it is pretty great.
Well, I'm going to wait.
Last 30.
Look at you. You're a monk. You're a monk and you make wine and you chant and
it'll be out in a couple days. Same with the X-Men Apocalypse trailer that somebody else leaked on their cell phone.
Yeah.
I'll wait until I see those in there. You know, it's bad enough I'm not watching them in a theater on the big screen. I've got to watch them on my computer screen.
I like it. You're a purist. You want the real deal.
Damn right. I want to see that thing big.
That's right.
As big as I can see it in clean.
Vinyl's awesome. MP3s are terrible. What else?
I'd like to see a Vine trailer.
Which of those that you guys mentioned did y'all find the most delightful?
Well, here's the thing about the Suicide Squad trailer. Now that we've seen the full blown deal,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I never saw the leaked one, but it is really impressive and makes me excited about a movie that everybody had questions about. Everybody was nervous about, forgetting about, you know, the whole, hey, we're getting a new Joker and let's all hate on it because that's what we do when new Jokers are announced. Forget about that crowd.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of unknown and not sure how serious this would be taken. It's kind of an odd offshoot in the comic world anyway. And, you know, what kind of approach would they be taking here? And I came away from that trailer really, really jazzed about it. Mm-hmm. I don't. You know, as we always know.
Margot Robbie looks like she's going to be great, and I like how the focus wasn't all Will Smith. Like,
yeah. In fact, if anything, you came away a little bit going, oh, Will Smith's not quite the star he used to be in a weird way.
I forgot he was in this, actually, was my reaction.
Also, Will Smith definitely gets, he has to do the heavy lifting of like the, so I guess we're some kind of suicide squad. Huh?
I guess this is going to be a clear and present danger.
It's also a bit of, that's them informing the public because this is it's really unknown. If you're not a comic book fan,
this is the title of the movie.
Yeah, because you really don't know what this is. It doesn't make any. There's no connection to like even
they
the
wanted
Avengers.
To commit suicide as a group,
like a
suicide squad,
like a squad of sorts. I think everybody looks really cool. I think Margot Robbie steals the trailer and creates just exactly
what
I... Well,
making her the star of the marketing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's clear,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and not just because she's uber attractive. I think she's extremely good at the roles I've seen her in, mm-hmm. and she looks like exactly what I would envision for that character of Harley Quinn.
And she sounds enough like Calliope Bradford that she could pull off the, I can't remember the actual actress's name who did the voice of Harley Quinn for so long.
Right.
Well, but she's not doing full gun mall though, right? It's not like Mr. J. Huh?
No. No, but there is a little bit of a little bit of that in one of the things she goes, huh? Or something like that to
at the end. She goes,
there's a little bit of that in there.
Yeah, a little bit. I think she's channeling it, but she just looks like she's going to nail that. And also, just Killer Croc is hard to do. I think he looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was heading toward this movie with a little bit of like, I hope so, I don't know, whatever, to now kind of making it more important to me. So let's see if it lives up to it. Trailers or whatever, you know, we've been disappointed before, but that excited me. The Batman versus Superman thing looked pretty good. I like what they're doing. We said this on the spoiler show, Justin, way back in the day when that movie came out, when Man of Steel came out, we said there needs to be an accounting. And I feel like what they showed shows that Superman's about to get an accounting. For what he did and what he was at least part of. And that's important, I think. Don't you think?
Sure. Yeah. No, we talked about this a lot on the Weird Things podcast. But I think it's going to be, I'm excited for it. I don't know if the biggest issue that I had with Man of Steel, which I liked walking out of the theater, was that I didn't know. It wasn't exactly a movie I had fun with. It's a movie I enjoyed. It's a movie I appreciated. It's not a movie I had fun with. And I don't know if Senate hearings about hundreds of people dying is something that I'm like, oh, yeah.
Maybe thousands.
Strap in for blockbuster summer fun.
Yeah.
As a Senate hearing about death. Also, Batman's parents were murdered. Have you picked up on that?
Yeah, that part pissed me off. Just because I was like, no, come on, not one more time. Really? You got to tell me one more time.
Not like Jesse Eisenberg being like, hey, I'm skateboarding Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
That's fine. I'm actually, the more I think about that, the more, it's not the Lex Luthor I want, but that's fine. Like, if
that's actually
get the one I want, then that's okay.
Yeah,
that's the only part of it that I kind of do have a little bit, well, not a problem with, but like, I'm, because it feels like, it's like the, it's Zuckerberg gone bad. Like, he's basically just continuing the same character from The Social Network.
I actually totally disagree with that, because, and not that it's him gone bad, it's just that Zuckerberg was, like, not Asperger, right, but, like, you know, very reserved, very shy, and would snap, like, the world came to him and wanted something of what he made, and so he got defensive.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't necessarily, have I told you this parable about how devils don't come from above? They come from somewhere else. I don't know, because I don't really get that line. Like, I mean, the devil is coming from... Anyway.
No, that was weird.
The red capes are coming.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's not something that Zuckerberg, like, when he says, like, three clever things in The Social Network, it's because he is at his most angry, most vindictive, and most arrogant.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Do you think he'll ever refer to them as super fools?
No.
That would be great. That would be really great.
It'll be after the credits.
And he'll go bald at some point, right? But it'll probably, I get the feeling that if he's not going to have that hair at some point and be the Lex Luthor we all know as the bald Lex Luthor, it's going to be because he went nuts and shaved it. You know?
He's going to go bald looking for kryptonite, and he's going to be like, hey, man, where's all this kryptonite? And then the kryptonite's going to be like, I'm over here, but also, psych, you're bald now. And he's gonna be like, what? This is truly a sign that my obsession about Superman has gone too far.
Uncovered.
Now I need to double down and totally double plus kill him. I'm Lex Luthor.
Yeah, probably.
Jury has just uncovered the post-credits ending.
Yeah.
the stinger at the end of the movie.
He's going to pull his falling hair out and just look at the screen and go, I'll get them next time, super fools. So, okay. Other than that, though, I'm kind of excited. Here are my only two problems with the first movie and then this movie. The first movie had the dad telling Superman, I think, something that is kind of opposite and not something he would have told him. Pa Kent was all about positivity and use your powers for good. And that movie, as much as I love Costner, said, hide it and keep it under a rug and don't show it off. So basically he said, don't save those people. That really bothered me in that first movie. here we are, this one, and they take a minute in the trailer to have the mom say, you don't owe these people anything.
Well, it's funny because she goes like, be their hero, be their monument, be their Pop-Tart in the morning, be their sunshine on your wedding day, and the advice that you did take.
Right.
And then it's like, or not, psych.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever, bro. Like, I'm just Ma Kent anyway. And
it's
then
like, do it or don't do it. It basically said, shit or get off the pot is what she said. And then the end said, you don't owe these people anything. And I don't think that's something. The parental heritage of the Kents is integral to the Superman story. And to have them be dismissive and hide it and you don't owe them anything and don't show people and don't, you're better off not saving that busload full of kids because now look at all the trouble you got. Like, that is antithetical to their being. And that bothers me a little bit.
Well, it's not antithetical to this universe. And this is a universe where Gotham and Metropolis are Oakland and San Francisco geographically. It's a universe where apparently there's going to be a Superman militia. And you know, we're going to... Listen, it's just... It's a different variation on familiar themes. And, yeah. You know, it's... That's what Zack Snyder has given us, and that's what we will enjoy.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, like I said, I'm actually excited about it, and holding Superman to account is an interesting storyline to me. I don't think it's going to be all courtroom stuff, but it will be him coming to a head with, I can do anything and destroy anything I want, and coming to a place where his commitment to people and to you know, being Superman will override all of that, and eventually Batfleck will figure that out. And they'll be buddies. And then it's on to the next stuff.
Yeah.
Whee! Right? Oh, one last thing. Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
Mm.
He looked like Tony Stark in those stupid glasses.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Definitely.
I'm going to make another trending tweet about that later today.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Yeah. You can just spit them out now like...
Are you previewing it? Is this our Comic-Con sneak preview?
Yeah.
He just teased... The trending tweet,
because I have another tweet trending today, and I want to keep up the heat. I want to go viral again. I want to get
nice.
Out there.
Wait, what was your first one?
It was the picture of Pluto with the actual Pluto dog pattern on it.
Oh, nice.
And it's,
yeah, it does kind of look like Pluto.
It's going a little crazy, so it's good.
Hey, before I leave,
yeah, tell us about Brian. Oh no, what?
We'll tell you about Brian. Brian, come on over here.
I can't wait to hear this. Well, that music's really coming in good.
There's only you in my life.
Oh, the camera went off.
The only thing that's right.
Yes!
My first love. He's both going to sing all of it. You're every breath that I take. You're every step I make. Oh, shit, yeah.
Man, you know what? Actually, you turn it back down.
And I want to share. I want to share all my love with you.
Still no idea what dude we're singing.
No one else will do. And your eyes, they tell me how much you care. Oh, yes, you will always be
there.
My endless love.
That is the single greatest moment in the history of the show. I had no idea you guys were going to ever pay that back. I had no idea.
We were thinking it was just going to be a debt that would remain uncollected.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, guess what? In your face.
Collected check.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Lannister always sings his karaoke death songs.
Hey, while Schwood is here, you got to pimp something that's coming up on Monday, right? A week from yesterday?
Yeah, dude. I guess, you know, it's funny because I went out. And I did a TV show, I guess I could say it now, in Las Vegas called Penn & Teller's Fool Us. And they send you like 37 billion emails and contracts that you sign saying like, don't you tell the world, you deny you ever did this. Yeah. You'd be ashamed of yourself. And so
you piece
that's
of
a good that was like Penn Jillette right there, by the way.
And so I, you know, it's like, I'm like, hey, I went on vacation to Las Vegas and now I'm back. Hey, good for me. And then, you know, then their, you know, promos are up and you find yourself in the awkward, like, yeah, no, I get it. That the last thing you told me was don't talk about it. But also I'm kind of in the commercial. Can I talk about it? And so, I'm on Penn and Teller's Fool Us this upcoming Monday, the 20th.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. That's amazing.
Meanwhile, like you go and you email back the people that you were emailing before that were like, we will hunt you down. This is not a game. Like, and then you email them back and you're like, hey, and I don't know if this is what happened. I'm guessing,
right.
Knowing television.
Right.
You email them back and you're like, oh, by the way, so I got this like whole big promotional machine that I've like built up for myself. Like I'd really like to make a big deal about it.
Sure.
And they're like, dude, I'm 2 weeks into Survivor Baby All-Stars. Like Fool Us was like 3 months ago, bro. I don't know. Whatever.
Sure, whatever. Yeah. Right.
But hold on. Wait, let me email somebody who also isn't working on this show anymore. Yeah, send an email. Anyway, bye.
Wow. And they're like, you want to tweet about it? Yeah, sure, always for it. And then the day of the show is when you'll get the deluge of everybody or somebody who inherited the project. And again, this is all speculation, not necessarily how this project's going. But yeah. Then that's when somebody will be like, hi, I'm Gary. I'm new to the team. Yeah. I'm in charge of promotion. How great that we're all in it. Listen, if all of you tweet and Facebook and Instagram and Vine, also I need you all to get Yik Yak accounts, three or four of them, so that you can talk about how excited you are about tonight's show, then we can really blow this up.
Yeah, we can make it go double max viral.
Wow. So Monday, do we know what time Monday?
Check your local listings is what we always say for something like that.
To be honest, this is the weird part is, this is how corrupted I am, is that I don't even know that I have a desire to, I didn't know that I had a desire to watch it until people are like, so you're going to do a watch party yet, right? And I was like, crap, I guess I should.
Mondays at 8 East, 7 Central.
All right.
There you go.
6 p.m. Yeah. Mountain.
It's a good routine. I like that. What's funny is there are moments that I just don't know if the cameras were kind to my sleight of hand or not. Mm. But then on top of that, I don't know.
Are you preparing for the YouTube comments?
Oh, dude, that's all. I just think in terms of like, what will angry 12-year-olds say about it?
So you've seen
it. Timestamp, really easy to figure out.
You've seen a cut of it then, right? You've seen the...
No,
okay.
They take it serious. And again, I don't think I'm violating any behind the scenes stuff because I'm just repeating what they've said in public that I've seen in person.
If he is, come get him, Gary.
Nobody listens to the show. It's fine. Whatever you say.
Fine. And also, it wouldn't be unfamiliar territory to get a note from me like, our legal team's concerned about the way you were speaking about this.
Yeah. And that stuff's crazy, the way that stuff goes. I'm very excited. When you get an email from Teller, is it always just blank? How's that work when Teller sends you something? Like nothing
Teller's
written?
Teller's the reason that that I did the show. When they reached out to me, I assumed like they reached out, they're like, hi, I'm so-and-so from, I'm Gary from Penn & Teller's Fool Us. We see that you're magic on the internet. We think you might be a big fit. And having gone through the ringer of, of the America's Got Talent thing, it's like, you know that there's just a bunch of, 20-somethings who do nothing but promise dreams and cookies to everyone, hoping that people will respond. So I figure like some production thing like, oh, this is hilarious. Some producer who's told to gather up all the magicians on the internet and send them a form letter ran across me. So I forwarded it to Teller, because Teller and I have swapped emails for 20 years. And I was like, ha ha, I suppose I'm disqualified, aren't I? Because we've known each other so long. And Teller's response was like, first of all, you need to understand that Penn and I literally have zero to do with any of the production, any of the behind the scenes. They don't let us know who's on until we show up. We're not allowed. It's like the one thing that you can bank on is that we genuinely are walking in, watching a routine for the first time, and genuinely doing our best to guess how it's done. Outside of that, we have nothing to do with anything. He says, having said that, We've had friends, our friends, our personal friends on the show, and it's been a lot of fun. He says, I would really consider doing it.
Well, that's
and
great.
So I was like, oh, all right, you know, well, maybe if they want a good routine and not a crap routine or whatever. And so I reached out and sent them some stuff. And the trick I do, and again, I'm speaking in vague generalities, you will notice is a trick that was built to be a card trick. But they were like, send us your ideas, no card tricks. Because we have a lot of really talented card guys and we're just heavy on cards. We need something that's not cards.
Right.
So, of course, I sent them a card trick with a little asterisk saying, I could probably figure out a way to do it not with cards. And then they're all like, great, figure out a way to do it not with cards. And then after I you know, made that promise, I was like, it's going to be real hard to do this not with cards.
That's like, with cards for 15 years.
That's like exactly. Bill Gates. It's like Bill Gates going to that IBM meeting and having to make an operating system in a week after he said, yeah, we've got it. That sounds a lot like that.
Right. Exactly. And I actually look forward to, after it comes out, spilling a little more behind the scenes details because it was astonishing, a stupid amount of work. Like, I mean... Mm-hmm. I mean, in the 2 weeks leading up to it, I probably, what normally should have been a 5-minute task became literally a 20 to 25 hour task where it was like, well, I guess it's 8 a.m. time to go to those salt mines and start prepping for the trick.
Oh, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Because if you look in the audience, you'll see a funny hat way in the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. You were there for that, right?
I was there for that. Yeah. Me and Missoula got to.
You didn't sign nothing, so you could talk all about it, right?
Yeah. I guess I could. Well, yeah. No, no, you know, I never signed anything. But
black helicopters, I mean, Brian.
Jesus, Brian. Like Gary's. Gary's listening. Gary's always listening.
I know. I don't need Gary coming after me too.
Well, I'm stoked for you, man. I can't wait to see it, and also see both you guys at the end of July at the big event. Totally stoked.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Well,
also, because this time you won't be like on the precipice of a nervous breakdown.
Insane. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was crazy. And
Dragon Con on the opposite end of a nervous breakdown.
Did you guys pick up on that, Scott and Brian, that I was a little bit at my wit's end and in 2014 I bit off a little more than I could chew and I might have been quietly dying inside?
Yeah, you and I had cornered off a little bit and talked about it, but I could totally tell things were weighing heavy on your quote-unquote summer vacation that you were calling it at the time.
Oh, wow.
And I knew things were a little bit hot, but I think you handled it masterfully.
You must have handled it really well. I was on a panel with you, sitting right next to you, and didn't even pick up on that. So
yeah,
well, good. Yeah. I fooled you.
The alcohol works.
Yeah, so, and the urine had dried by the time we did those other panels. It's fine. It's fine. Everyone just thought the hotel stunk. It was fine.
I'm really looking forward to this year, though, man. 2015 has been the year of Brian's healing and taking it easy and getting back to being the jolly character I normally am.
Well, good. Your singing today proves that, if nothing else. So I hope that cold leaves you. It sounds like a gnarly one.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
Like 11 random things in Jerry's house before you go.
Yeah.
wait, name 11 random things?
No. Lick 11.
Oh, no. Oh, geez. What is this? Is he some sort of Ariana Grande?
Well, see what she's done to our country. All right. We must build a wall. Stay out of trouble, both of you. Can't wait to see you. And be good to each other and all those around you.
Yeah, guys, Night Attack tonight. We're both live in studio. We love you guys.
We love you.
We'll see you guys later.
See you guys.
For some reason.
Link.
Oh, yeah? What'd you get there? What'd you get?
We got a couple minutes. Maybe we talk about this.
Sure. What do you got?
Here, I'm going to put in Skype for you.
All right.
Again, thanks to BOGO. Boy, when you buy one correction for American Graffiti, you get several more corrections free with BOGO. So, wow. Way to go, BOGO.
Good job, buddy. What do you got there? What am I looking at?
This is parents angry and upset, or at least a dad, over a slave Leia action figure in a Target.
Oh, I have to activate Flash to see it.
Oh, well, never mind.
Let me do it real fast. Hold on.
Okay.
Allow now. Here we go. Just this one time I want to allow it. All right, I'm going to play it now.
Okay.
Here we go.
Down the toy aisle had a local dad doing a double take. He's furious over a popular Star Wars action figure sold in stores in our area. He says, you know what? Not appropriate for young children. So is it harmless movie memorabilia or too racy for youngsters? Take a look. You decide.
Well, we sent our Chris O'Connell to talk to the dad.
Oh, great. They sent Chris O'Connell over there.
Now you know you're in trouble. Chris O'Connell's on the case.
Yeah. Yeah, it is being sold all over the country. And this is it. It's a toy that's all over the country in stores and online. Some parents say this action figure for kids four and above is way too inappropriate for kids of any age.
Are you all pretending Jedi didn't exist?
That's Fred Hill's daughters at the Target store in Deptford shopping for their birthday.
Pause for one
gift.
Second.
All right, pausing.
You gotta love that little that non-staged video of I'm just filming my kids walking through a Target.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah,
it just happened to be.
What's this, hon?
What do you see here?
It's pretty inappropriate.
The single dad was shocked to see this on the toy aisle shelf. A Hasbro-made Star Wars Black Series action figure of Princess Leia wearing what the box described as a slave outfit.
Oh my gosh. What? Are you kidding?
The box is describing that as a slave outfit.
I can listen to somebody's argument that it was always a little racy.
Yeah.
You can say that. Fine. There's a conversation to be had. But acting like you live in a freaking vacuum, Fox 29, and that this is nothing you've seen or heard of, or that this didn't exist for 25 years?
We don't know the specifics of the movie plotline, because this is kind of an obscure film, but we think this woman was kept as a sex slave.
I gotta keep playing this.
I got two daughters, I don't need seeing that crap.
The toy feature...
I got two daughters, I don't need seeing that crap. Brian, this made my day. All right, I'm gonna look at that whole thing later.
Yeah.
In fact, I may have to pull that clip
out. There might be some good audio clips.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. All right. Well, that's it. That's the show. We're done. Tomorrow, we'll have a Wednesday edition of the show.
Get out.
As we careen ever faster.
Appropriately on Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to blow your mind, but we're here to blow your mind. Yes. So that'll be good. We'll have Nicole
and Tom.
So no
dentist thing
tomorrow. Oh, yeah. That got canceled, so we're good.
Okay.
Yeah, good. We got a better time, different thing, so we're all good.
Do you need a quick reminder of the movie?
I know it. It is. I wrote it down this time. It okay. is, hold on, movies with a water theme.
There you go.
And everyone out there wants me to yell, is this a, maybe this is, let's see what happens if I say this. You ever seen Paper? All right, did I get in there? Did I get on somebody's bingo?
Is that streaming? Is that going to be your?
No, I don't think it's streaming.
Oh, okay.
But if it was I would.
I've actually got mine already, and I'm hoping you guys don't pick it, so I'm hoping.
Yeah, I have not done as much looking as I will at some point, but.
Okay.
Anyway. We're all good for that. Recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, all that. Wednesdays are fun. Wednesdays are good. Everyone come and bring your foot.
Wood.
Ah, you did it better than I did, although very inappropriately. It's like a slave layout over there.
That's right. Oh,
Frogpants.com. I know. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is the email address. Our phone number is 801-471-0462. Please keep giving us calls. We love them. @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville on Twitter. What else? I think that's it. Today is a little nutty for me, but I can't think of anything that's important for everyone else. Kickstarter's doing well. We're about to hit another stretch goal. If you haven't checked that out, go to myextralife.com/book. We have some big announcements about that coming up here in the next couple of days. Oh my gosh. I guess that's it, Brian.
Okay.
Do you have anything? You good?
Yeah, I mean, I pimped the From the Helicarrier show, but really, honestly, if you're playing Marvel Avengers Alliance on Facebook, then you know about From the Helicarrier. So,
oh, and it was nice, by the way, to see so many people at Comic-Con walk away with the new CD and show
yes,
it off on Instagram.
Yes, it did
so.
Really well. I haven't gotten actual numbers of how many people bought it, but mm-hmm. As cool as it is seeing people buying it. The photo of it at Comic-Con with the Comic-Con exclusive sticker on the front was the best thing.
That's pretty cool to see, isn't it? I was
it really
impressed.
Is, yeah.
So good job, everyone, and way to pick those up. All right, Brian, let's get out of here. You have music, and I want to listen to it.
All right, Greg, TV's Egon in the chat room. Yeah, we mentioned it was his birthday, and I don't know if I could do anything to top the birthday song that he got from Jury and Schwood a minute ago, but we're going to try. We're going to try and do our best. Yeah. Dear Strobe and Bulb, on this, the occasion of my age equaling the answer to life, the universe, and everything, I would like to request a song to help us all get into the mood of all the photography that will be taking place in 2 weeks at Nerdtacular 2015. I can't wait until Nerdtacular, and I'm so looking forward to getting even more photos this year, including all the Frog Pants hosts and anyone attending the show, as we need pictures of you. All of you! Mm. If you could please play a cover of the Cure song Pictures of You by the punk band The Scaries, I would greatly appreciate it. If you have a different cover, that would work as well. If that song is not available, I would, of course, be okay with the Darius Rucker smashing photo of the show bros, Greg, a.k.a. TVZ Gun.
Now it's now the tipping point. Now
that really
everything.
Should be the free space on the bingo card. That that there's no reason that should be an actual space.
I agree.
All right, TVZ Gun. I actually don't have a copy of the version by The Scaries. That's an import. I'm working on getting a copy of it. But in the meantime, I've got another version that I think you're going to like. I totally dig this version. It's by a group called Seven Nations from a 2010 tribute to The Cure called A Celtic Rock Tribute to The Cure. Very appropriate. It's Seven Nations and their version of Pictures of You.
Brian, check this out. 9,200 retweets, 5,716 favorites, all since 8:45 this morning.
Wow.
Pretty good. Pretty That's good. Awesome. I'm a Twitter whore. All right. Here's your song. It's Pictures of You. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
I've been looking so long at these pictures of you that I almost believe that they're real. I've been living so long with my pictures of you that I almost believe that the pictures are all I can feel. Remembering you standing quiet in the rain as I ran to your heart to be near, and we kissed as the sky fell and holding you close. For I always held close in your fear. Remembering you running soft through the night, you were bigger, brighter and whiter than snow. You screamed at the make-believe, you screamed at the sky, and you finally found all your courage to let it all go. Remembering you falling into my arms, crying for the death of your heart. You were stone white, so delicate, soon lost in the cold. You were always so lost in the dark. Remembering you, how you used to be, so drown you so much more than everything. I'll hold for the last time, then slip away quietly. Open my eyes, but I'll never see anything. If only I thought of the right words, I could have held on to your heart. Of you. There was nothing in the world that I ever wanted more than to feel you deep in my heart. There was nothing in the world I ever wanted more than to never feel the breaking apart of all my pictures of you.
Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
This is your boss, you weenie.
You weenie?
Ooh. Hogan. You weenie.